Let's bring in Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, to discuss all said things. How you doing, Bobby?
Excellent. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Let's begin with Tyson Barry. I know you had mentioned that after the two bad games. What is so funny?
The way Bob goes, okay.
Yeah, okay. He's ready for anything. Yeah. We know that in the beginning of the season, when things weren't going well for him, teams were inquiring about him. Then, of course, Sheldon Keefe takes over. Everything is great for him. And, you know, he starts to pick up again offensively. Confidence is back. The calls stop coming in. Last two games, not so good for the Leafs, the Buffalo and first game against Pitt. So it's sounding like the calls picked up again?
That's correct. I think with the whole thing, when you look at the sort of the big picture on Barry, you've got to start with the premise that this is a player that is not highly likely to return to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think there are two reasons for that. Number one, he probably is going to want more term and more money than what the Leafs have the capability of giving him. This is his prime time, you know, first crack at unrestricted free agency. So he's going to be looking to hit a home run. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, with their cap situation, are not in a position to afford him a home run ball with them. And secondarily, with having had Barry for the year, and, you know, having played him significant amounts of minutes and games with Morgan Rielly, I think the Leafs recognize that that's not exactly the perfect fit for them long term. And that to have a guy like Barry on the roster at whatever his cap hit is for the Leafs, $2 million, because Colorado's picking up half of it, that was well worth it. And he continues to be a productive guy for them. And they're not desperate just to usher him out the door. But the reality is, because the Leafs hit the skids this past week, because a lot of other defensemen got traded and the pool of available defensemen for trade shrunk substantially when Dylan and Mello and all these guys got moved the other day, teams did call. And the Leafs are in the position now where they're saying, you know, we're not potentially going to trade Tyson Barry because we're raising the white flag on the season or we want future considerations or any of that. What they want to do is they want to get better. They want to get that right shot long-term defenseman still. They can't get that, ostensibly, you wouldn't think, with Tyson Barry as trade bait. So there's two things would have to happen in my mind for Tyson Barry to be traded. Number one, they'd have to get a defenseman coming back the other way that in the Leafs' mind makes them at least as good as they are now, if not better, because they're still fully invested in making the playoffs. You know, all that talk earlier in the week about, oh, they lost those games, they look terrible, maybe they should just sell. No, they're not going to sell because they, in spite of whatever flaws the team may have, they want to make the playoffs and they want to try to go deep. So in trading NHL players, bona fide top four NHL defensemen for picks and prospects is not going to help them unless, and this is one of the two things that would have to happen, you could trade Tyson Barry for a defenseman who helps you and makes you better now, although that's going to be difficult to do because Barry's on an expiring contract. Or you can get picks and prospects, some combination thereof for Barry, and you could apply them against, use them as currency in a separate deal. So parlay whatever you could get for Barry right now into that deal that would get you the right shot defenseman with term that they'd be looking for weeks, if not months, and what they still need to get, whether they get it at the trade deadline or not. But the idea of Tyson Barry being traded and the Leafs having nothing but after Monday, leaving a hole in your lineup and having a pick and some prospects doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. So I think they've either got to finesse two deals or get a defenseman back that would, you know, a different type of defenseman back that would replace Barry in the lineup and not weaken the team. Or he just stays for the balance of the season and he walks to free agency in the summer.
Would this have been different if Morgan Rielly was healthy? Or, like, would this have been different if there wasn't that type of injury?
I guess anything could be different. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. They obviously miss Morgan Rielly. Having said that, when Morgan Rielly was in the lineup, he's not had a Morgan Rielly type year. Certainly the year that Morgan Rielly had last year, which was off the charts good, at no point this year did he ever look as comfortable or productive as he was last year. So, you know, it's speculative to say that if they had Morgan Riley now, everything would be different. It might be. And I would, I guess I would probably take any bet that says Morgan Riley over time is going to be closer to the player we saw last year than the player we saw at times this year. But I think he's, you know, kind of interesting because Morgan Riley and Cody Ceci, for that matter, I think they're both on track to probably be back by mid-March. I would say they're maybe 3 weeks away. So not long enough to be able to apply their money to get them through the rest of the regular season and bring somebody else in. But I mean, with Andreas Janssen out and what have you, that's not as big a factor. This Leaf team's never really faced a cap crunch they thought they were going to face because they've had so many injuries and they've been in LTIR basically the whole season and to the tune of millions and millions. So, you know, Riley and CeCe could be back in a few weeks, mid-March, and I think those would be a welcome return to get a couple of veteran defensemen back. I know everybody's down on CeCe, I understand that, but it still gives you another, you know, NHL body to have access to, and you can mix and match your pairs and see where you go, and we'll see whether Barry's here when it's all said and done or not. But there are multiple teams that are talking to the Toronto Maple Leafs about Tyson Barry right now, no doubt about it.
So staying on the right shot defenseman theme, Bob, and, you know, Barry aside, whatever happens or doesn't happen, but for the Toronto Maple Leafs to really address this problem in a significant way, does that not have to wait until the draft? You know, other teams have gone through their disappointments, didn't do as well, they're more open to business, and the Toronto Maple Leafs likewise have a better idea of where they're at?
It could. Absolutely, it could, Craig. You're right. I mean, there's no guarantee at all that the Leafs are going to solve, you know, this right side defenseman dilemma that they've got by Monday. They would like to. They're trying.
Yep.
And there's a lot of different things. I mean, you know, again, I don't know that Calgary would be a team that would be at the front of the line for Tyson Barry, and I would suggest they probably aren't. But nevertheless, there's a lot going on in Calgary right now. I saw Mark Giordano was skating and looking pretty good today, apparently on his own. But nevertheless, you got the Giordano injury, you got Hamonic injury, and you've got Hamonic and TJ Brody, two top four NHL defensemen, both on expiring contracts. You know, I think there's probably been some, maybe a little more contract dialogue with Travis Hamonic than TJ Brody, but, you know, I don't know what Calgary is going to do there. Are they going to sign one? I don't think Calgary is going to sign both those guys. I think they'd probably like to sign one. I don't know if they're going to be able to sign Hamonic or, you know, he's in free agency. He basically wanted out of the New York Islanders to get to Western Canada because he needed for family reasons to be much closer to his hometown of Winnipeg. Well, now that you're going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, I mean, you could go the extra mile and get home if Winnipeg wants you and you want to be there, you could take advantage of that. So I don't know how that would affect contract talks with the Flames or not. But anyways, as I said, as it relates to the Toronto Maple Leafs, I know Brody's a guy whose name has popped up over the last year, 18 months, in terms of somebody that maybe the Leafs would have interest in. And, you know, as they say, he's an expiring contract, too. And as I said, I don't think Calgary is absolutely invested in trying to get Tyson Barry. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, there's a one-for-one with Brody and Barry. But I'm just saying that these are some of the names that are kicking around out there. And so we'll end up seeing where it goes. But to your point, Craig, some would say it's a remote possibility that the Leafs are going to find exactly the right shot defenseman that they're looking for now, and that it could be a summer venture. But I think every effort is being exhausted between now and Monday to explore that entire marketplace and look at any and all possibilities as it relates to the Barry situation, but just to, you know, the Kapanen situation and whatever else it would take to get that player.
All right, so speaking of exhausting all avenues, you know, Zach Bogosian, as we know, cleared waivers, not reporting to the Buffalo Sabres AHL team, has been suspended, now has been put on unconditional waivers for the sake of terminating his contract. It's been a bumpy go for him, right, as far as injuries, 19 games played this season. Last year was 65, the year before that, 18. I mean, you look at his numbers, again, I said he hasn't played a full season. You have to go back to 09-10 with the Atlanta Thrashers, where he played 81. But either way, we are talking about a defenseman. We're talking about a big body and a guy who shoots right. Would the Leafs at least, you know, kick tires on this?
I think they probably would. There'll be a bunch of teams that, you know, once you lose the money that he's been making on his existing NHL deal and that gets mutually terminated, and that's where this is obviously headed, then he's a free agent and he's got an opportunity to sign. And I bet there's at least a half a dozen teams that will talk about signing him and probably look at him, you know, as a league minimum type guy, and suddenly, you know, for depth and what have you. And his challenge is, you know, he's come from a situation where he was nothing more than a depth option and not, you know, perceived to be that viable a one for the Buffalo Sabres. So what he's going to be looking for, and because, you know, he's getting the money on he's not getting his contract anymore. It's not like he's being bought out or anything. So he's not doing this for the money. So if you're not doing it for the money, you got two other options. You want a chance to win, but you also want a chance to play. So there might be some teams that give him a chance to win, but he's looking at their depth chart and he's thinking, I might be number 8 on that. I might be right back in the soup of sitting in the press box and watching games unless somebody gets injured. So, he may be looking even short-term for, you know, a team that's trying to make the playoffs might not give me the best chance to win the cup, but it would give me the best chance to get some minutes and actually play and be in somebody's top 6 or 7. And I was stunned. I didn't even realize that. I was just looking on Twitter and somebody says the last playoff game that Zach Bogosian ever played was for the Peterborough Peaks.
Yep.
So that gives you see, he's one of those guys like Jay. For the longest time, Jay Bouwmeester was that guy. Never played a playoff game.
Ron Hainsey was that guy and then went and won a cup.
Yeah, won a cup, exactly. So anyways, that'll be up to Bogosian to decide, but I would think, you know, I don't know what the Toronto situation might size up like for a guy like Bogosian looking at it, that if they're interested in him, you know, is he thinking to himself, do I have a nice combination of a chance to play and a chance to play for a good team, or do I have other options out there where the chance to play overrides the chance to be a playoff team or whatever. So he'll sort that out with his agent, Aaron Ferris, here in the next 24 hours, I'm sure.
Well, someone else you mentioned, again, as we just keep talking about defensemen here, is Troy Stetcher coming out of Vancouver. And, you know, he's young. He's 25 years of age. And he is an RFA, though, at the end of this season. I don't know if that matters as far as just having to, once again, deal with signing somebody again. But would that be a possibility?
Who are we talking about there, sorry?
Troy Stetcher and Stetcher. The Leafs. We're not talking about any other team possibly signing him. We don't really care here.
No, Stetcher's RFA at the end of this year. And Vancouver does have some interest in Barry. And if they were going to do it, you know, Vancouver is not, after giving up a first-round pick for JT Miller in the summer and giving up a second-round pick for Tyler Toffoli this past week, they're trying to conserve draft picks. So one of the things they're looking at doing, and there's been stories written about this all week, is that whether it's Olli Juolevi, who's been riddled with injuries and playing in Utica, and some of the other depth options they've got, Brogan Rafferty in Utica, and, you know, Troy Stetcher on their roster, you know, there might be concerns as to what it's going to cost to sign Stetcher, if they've got younger defensemen who are ready to come in and replace him and that sort of thing. So Stetcher might be the kind of guy that would have some interest to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but, you know, it's not going to be as simple as, oh, let's trade Tyson Barrie to Vancouver for Stetcher. I think the Leafs would probably want more than that and expect more than that. And by no means is Vancouver the only team that's talking to the Leafs about Tyson Barrie, so it all kind of get thrown in the hopper.
Bob McKenzie, TSN Hockey Insider, getting ready for, you know, I'm sure it's still going to be a very busy Monday. I know you guys kind of joke around about a lot of trades happening now, but a lot of trades to at least dissect and then anticipation of anything happening. I'll ask the same to you as I did to Pierre LeBrun. Sometimes there are things that come out of left field, but is there any kind of anticipation of a certain team you think will be busy?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the Boston Bruins are going to want to do something. They're going to want to add a scoring winger. You know, we believe they've been in on Chris Kreider all along, but we also believe they might add interest in Blake Coleman, and I'm sure that whether it's Kyle Palmieri or a Brandon Saad or whatever, there's, you know, Andre Cache in Anaheim. Any kind of scoring winger, Boston, Colorado, you know, contending teams, that really feel like they need to boost their offensive depth. And, you know, Boston has just not been able to find a regular mainstay to play alongside Krejci and DeBrusk on their second line. That's been a hole that dates back years to when they went to the Rangers and got Rick Nash and went out last year and they made the trade for Charlie Coyle and for Marcus Johansson. And no matter what they've added, no matter what they've done, they've not been able to find just the right fit on that second line, and I think that's what their primary focus would be. Colorado, I think, you know, Joe Sakic would be the first to tell you that because of the injury to Grubauer, as happy as they are with Francouz and that they need another goaltender, they need some goaltending depth. They would like to add or improve their defense and add somebody that could play in their top four. That they would like to add a top nine forward, preferably a winger, although even with Kadri out of the lineup for as long as he's out now, 3-4 weeks, they've run an injury. Brandon's out at least 3 weeks. Kadri's out 3 to 4 weeks. Matt Calvert's out for another 2 weeks. Grubauer's out probably for another 3 or 4 weeks. So Joe Sakic would like to get busy and fill some of these holes and basically give the Avs a much better chance. That's Central Division. My goodness. I mean, last year everybody talked about the Atlantic Division because the Leafs were a real good team, mm-hmm. and they were in third, but you had Tampa that was running away with the league, and you had Boston, who everybody knows was really good. So I called that last year. In the Eastern Conference, everything had to run through the Atlantic Division, and as it turned out, that was the case. The Boston Bruins were the ones who prevailed and got to the Stanley Cup Final from the East. This year, I would say on the Western side, I look at that Central Division, and there's your power alley, power triangle, if you want to call it that, with the defending cup champion St. Louis Blues, the Dallas Stars, and the Colorado Avalanche. I don't know what order they're going to finish in, but those are the top three teams in the Central. And as much as, you know, Vegas entices you and the folks in Edmonton and Vancouver and Calgary and Arizona and whatever, everybody's talking about that race in the Pacific Division, I got to believe that you know, the Western representative in the Stanley Cup Final is highly likely to be one of those three teams coming through the Central. So, you know, who's going to do what there to try and give themselves that little extra boost? And I think Colorado is highly motivated to do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Bob, you've probably already seen the tweet by Pierre LeBrun that Andre Cache is believed to be going to the Bruins.
Just as you said his name, that's what Pierre tweets out. Looks like, Andre Cache being traded to Boston. He's hearing it. Nothing's final. Yep.
Well, Pierre says he's hearing it.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Oh, dear. Well, have fun on Monday. I'm sure there will still be a ton of stuff to talk about.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bob.
Appreciate it.